All right. Today we are in Psalm 119. Nice. Real nice. Okay, what happened here? We want this. Right. All right. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we just do thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you direct us to praise you. And Lord, that we would reverence your word. We would reverence by obedience, by seeking it out and understanding it, to applying it to our lives, so that we might not sin against thee. O Lord, to love you with all the heart, with all the soul, with all the mind, with all the strength. This is the great commandment. And we can only do this by understanding. Your Holy Spirit gives us understanding of your word so that really we are out without excuse. We have the Holy Spirit that teaches us all things. All we need do is read it, meditate therein, and just commit our ways unto you. So, Lord, I pray that you would have your way with us as we study your word, as we look into those things that you have laid down for us. Oh, Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. We call upon the Holy Spirit to give us insight, He will most certainly do it. All we have to do is really the minimal amount. All we have to do is get in there and read and just allow him to work in our lives. I mean, we talk about how the word is, you know, a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. So many of the quotes that we do come from this psalm. And it's a huge psalm. It's we're not going to complete it all this evening, of course, because there's just too much there. Now, the Psalm 119 is broken up into 8 verses. Now, we call them verses there, but those were put in after the fact. But the ideas, each one, like the Aleph, the first one there, it's like the alphabet. It is the alphabet. It's the Hebrew alphabet, and each one of the sections start with that letter. It's kind of like, if you would, remember in kindergarten, you know, like you go into the kindergarten room, or maybe even first grade, whichever, you know, you remember. But invariably, in every first grade or kindergarten class that I've ever been in, the wall up there, the lining at the top, always had the alphabet on it. And it had the A, and it had the acetylene torch there, so that the kids would, no, they would have apple, okay? And B would be for ball, and C would be for cat, and D for dog, and we'd look at that and we'd start to associate the letters with these animals. And then we begin to spell without even realizing it. And so the Lord has done the same thing here. He's taking us to elementary school. This is where we begin. It's the Word. Now, we had just come off of the Hallel Psalms, the Psalms of Praise, the one who was to come, the one that was foretold that was going to take away the sin of the world. But he's also called, as John so eloquently puts it, the Word became flesh. The Word of God became flesh. And then this is, you know, the beginnings of that understanding. And so if I may, the Word is kind of like a cantaloupe. No, really. Now, cantaloupe is probably one of my favorite fruits. That is a fruit, right? It's not a vegetable. It's a fruit. Okay. Because you look at a cantaloupe, and I mean, you know, you see it's nice and round. But if you look at it, you start to see these fibers that are going all around in it. You know, and it's how it's, and if you take a magnifying glass and you start to look between the spaces in that fiber, you see more fibers and more fibers. And then when you cut the thing open, you can see the layers and how far it goes. And it protects the meat of the fruit. It's got the little rind on there that protects the fruit and all of those things. But the Word of God is that same way. It's just so intricate. It's so full of detail. And yet, it's so simple. It tells us on the onset, if even by a casual reading, we're going to get something out of it. But when you start to examine each and every one, you know, you're just kind of like meditating on the Word. And that's probably what we're going to do a lot of. We're going to be meditating on the Word. We're going to be looking at these, and we're going to start picking it apart, if you will, the way that you would when you read it. And we've all had the experience of when you're reading the Word, and all of a sudden a verse will pop out at you. How it just kind of like glows on the page or whatever. And you just start to read that, and it just speaks so much to you. And every time you read it, it's like the Holy Spirit is saying something different. He begins. It starts off with, blessed are, or blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. The undefiled. Blessed are the undefiled. Why? Why are the undefiled blessed? Those that are, let's say, unspotted from this world. The undefiled, the ones that keep themselves away from the things that they know are going to defile them. And that's a tough thing to do these days. You can't really do anything. You can't drive down the road without seeing a billboard that is going to pollute your mind some way, somehow. Whether it's by some lustful thought or the latest technology fad thing coming out or even the programs that are coming out. And it's invariably the ones that are the basis of sorts that catch your eye, because that's what we're made of. But those things by themselves are not sin. It's when we dwell on them, when we allow them to come into our minds and into our hearts, where they become a part of us. That's what defiles us. Remember what Jesus said. Jesus said, it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, whether in the mouth gate or in the eye gate or the ear gate. Those things do not defile him. It's what comes out. You see, the things that have gone in, they get digested. And we take every thought captive, and we take those things that, man, this is no spiritual good at all. It's got to go. Okay, so now it hasn't taken root in us. And so now when we speak, it's not going to come out of our mouth. The things that we desire, it's not going to come out of our heart because it's not planted there. But what is planted there? Something has to be planted there. It isn't enough to just not have the world in there. You have to fill it with something. Nature abhors a vacuum. If you don't, remember what Jesus says, when the seven spirits went out of a man and he went into dry places looking for a place to dwell. And then he says, I'm going to go back to my house. And hey, no, just one went out. But I'm going to go back to my house. And he found it swept and garnished. And he went and brought seven more demons, more wicked than himself. You see, you cannot just purge out all of the bad things in your life. You have to fill it with the good. You have to fill it with Jesus Christ. It cannot be swept and garnished waiting for something else. It has to be filled with Jesus Christ. And so therefore, as a new believer, you've got to fill yourself with God. You've got to fill yourself with the Word. You've got to fill yourself with prayer and to fellowship with believers in Jesus Christ, those that are going to encourage you in the way. This is how we stand undefiled, by not allowing those things from the outside to come in, other than those that walk by the law of the Lord. Now, you may think that this is kind of a works trip here. Oh, yeah, you're on James, so of course everything that you're going to say now is going to be a works thing. Negative. That's not it at all. You walk by the law of the Lord. Now, we know that the law is a whole. It is a holy whole. Break one part of it, and you've broken the whole law. This is not what we're talking about here. It's where the law of the Lord is guiding your every thought. It's guiding your every step. Every place that your foot is to travel. You're a man. You're going to go out. You're going to look for a job. Hey, I happen to be good at filmmaking. So that's what I'm going to do. I went to college. I've got a degree in filmmaking. I'm going to go out and, you know, make some money. And I'm going to, you know, honor the Lord in this. Now, you're not going to go to the porn industry to try to make your money, because you know that that's not where the Lord would lead you to go. It's not honoring of God. And I'm using this as a broad example, obviously. But you know where not to walk. But on the contrary, the Lord is going to teach you where to walk, what He wants you to do. He may just say, you know what, that degree you got in filmmaking, we're going to chuck that. We're going to chuck that for now. I want you to go over to here. And as you're in tune with the Lord, as you're walking in His way according to His law, He's going to lead you where He wants you to go. Because what is the law going to tell you? That your plans are all... They're just that. You have to lay down those plans. You have to lay down those things that you thought you wanted for your life. They're no good anymore. Because you belong to a master. You belong to somebody that has only the best for you. Now, the road's going to be hard. It's going to be painful, yes. But, hey, there is a treasure in store for you. We had a conversation a little earlier in the hotel, in the hospital room with one of Rocky's daughter-in-laws. And we have to lay down ourselves, you know, and the whole aspect of, well, Lord, these are my plans. Bless my plans. Okay? I want you to bless these plans because they're good plans, because I'm going to make a lot of money off of these plans. All you have to do is bring me the clients. I'll hook them and fry them, and man, we'll tithe all the way to the bank. And we'll just be, you know. That's not how it works. He doesn't need money. He wants your heart. He wants to see a servant that's willing to lay down their lives. And so as we walk in the law of the Lord, we're going to have that peace that, man, God's got it under control. Everything that I'm going through, all these bumps, these hiccups, God's got it. He's got that plan for my life, and I'm laying down my plans for Him. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. Whole heart. Not just a little bit of the heart. Not just on Sundays and Wednesdays and in prayer closets and at prayer meetings and at Christian concerts. No, the whole heart. That means every aspect of your life, whether you're at your work. Now, a lot of people say, well, you know, and then I guess I've got just got to be, I'll just sit in my prayer closet and I'll wait for God to feed me. You know, He fed Elijah in the wilderness by the ravens, so I'll just kick back and just wait for the Lord. No, it's where He has you now. Shine. Grow where you are now. Blossom. Let the testimonies that you have received reach the ears of those who would never darken the door of a church. Why do you work so hard? Why do you do the things that you do? Man, you're working too hard. Now, I was in a place, and you know, I'm not going to say where I was at, but I was at a place that was unionized. And people really have a hard time with people who work hard. They don't like it. It makes everybody else look bad, you see. You need to cut back a little bit. We've got 8 hours to sweep this floor. You know, let's not get it done in the first five, because then they'll find something else for us to do. Our job is to sweep this floor, and it's going to be the best swept floor, but it's going to take us a good 8 hours to do, including lunch break. But this is the worldly mind. You know, if you stand out, you're going to stand out. If you go over and above, if you go, like Jesus said, the extra mile, you're going to stand out, and people are going to take notice of that. Now, it's going to be, the world is going to come down on you. But in the Lord's eyes, you're being a diligent steward. You're taking those talents that the Lord has given you, and you're using them to the nth degree. And the scriptures tell us, don't despise the days of small beginning, like sweeping the floor. That's small beginnings in a lot of people's minds. But if you're doing it, it's the greatest task that you can perform at this moment, because it's all that you have to do. Whether it's in computers or in finance or whatever it is that you're doing, do all to the glory of God. Seek Him with the whole heart, every aspect of your life. How do I do my job to glorify You, Lord? Is there something else that I could be doing? Is there a way that I could be doing this better that brings You glory? They also, if you're doing these things, okay, if you're walking undefiled in the way, if you're walking according to the law, if you're keeping His testimony, and you're seeking the Lord with all of your heart, you will do no iniquity. It won't be in your heart to do. It'll be repugnant to you for iniquity to come. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Now, this is elementary school, folks. This is nursery school. This is first grade. You know, this is the basics. The Lord has given us His word. And we ask the Lord, Lord, oh, just speak to me. If You would just speak to me up from the heavens. And He's giving you His word. Well, not the iPad thing. You know, He's got His word out there. Read His word. I've spoken to you. Take heed, you know, and listen. Keep the precepts diligently. And this is not, again, it's not a works trip. It's keep them before your heart always. Keep them before your minds. They should be like the phylacteries on your head. Every time that you take a step, it's going to bounce on your head to remind you that you belong to the Lord. And then in the phylacteries that the Pharisees used to wear, in that box was a script saying, holiness unto the Lord. And every time that would hit, they would think about that. Holiness unto the Lord. In my mind, in my walk, it's holiness to the Lord. It didn't quite work out very well for them. But in our hearts, you see, Jesus Christ lives in our hearts, and he's going to be reminding us all the time via the Holy Spirit. Walk in his ways. Keep his precepts. Keep them before your eyes. Remember what they are. That way, you won't sin against him. In our prayer on that, the Lord has commanded us. He didn't suggest it. It's not, you know, something, you know, if you get around to it, you know. If you feel like if you're not having such a, you're having a bad day, okay, let's put that to the side. No. He's saying he's commanding you to keep his precepts. And our hearts is verse 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Our prayer and the prayer of my heart is, oh, Lord, let me keep your word. Let me walk before you undefiled in the way. Let me just give glory to you in all things. Oh, that my ways were directed, because they're not. You know, that's the contrast. This is what I want, but that's not what happens, is it? You know, yeah, when I'm sitting in my chair and I'm praying and, oh, yeah, Lord, I just want to be filled by your Spirit and I just walk in your ways and, you know, and it's, oh, and now I'm going out the door and I know I'm going to get in the car and I got to drive that freeway and, Lord, that's going to be a bad scene. It's going to be a bad scene, you know, because I know that my flesh is going to rise up and it's so uncontrollable sometimes. And the Lord works on me day by day by day, and he's given me the peace that passes understanding. He says, take your time. You leave in plenty enough time. You'll get there. You don't have to drive so fast. Slow down. Okay. And as I find myself slowing down, wow, what happens? I'm not so concerned when people cut in front of me. I can look at the clock and say, I've got plenty of time. I don't need to be in a hurry. Let these guys go if they're late. And Sunday morning, I always joke with Cindy as people are zipping by us, you know, and thinking, oh, gosh, they must be late for church. You know, they should come to our church because, you know, we start a lot later, you know. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. That's a good prayer to have. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Let that be the cry of my heart. I want to keep your statutes. I want to keep them always before me to honor you, Lord. You see, we honor the Lord with these things. It's not that we're trying to earn his favor. It's because we love him, because he first loved us. We love him. And to show that we love him, we keep his commandments before our face. Now, the Big Ten are, you know, relatively easy. But I would dare say that, you know, I probably, if I took a straw poll to see how many you remember, you'd probably get 5. 5 out of the 10, you know. I mean, and that's, we think, well, that's pretty good. Got half, 50%, and it's passing grade, you know. But there are the precepts, and there are the statutes, and all of the things that the Lord laid down, and they're just like, well, let's say, what the Jews counted up, 612 of them, you know, and that was just in the 5 books of Moses. In the Midrash and the Talmud, boy, there's, man, thousands. You know, there was, I think it was over 700 different ways to keep the Sabbath day. And can you imagine that on your test? Name 650 of the 700 ways, okay? If you really want to be a Pharisee, you'll just be able to, you know. But there's a reason for it. In verse 6 it says, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Now, all means all, not just 50% of them. All means all. When I have respect unto you. Now, today, man, we live in a place that in this world, respect is a bygone era. People don't even know what that means anymore. I was tickled yesterday. I'm still tickled about it. Baltimore, yeah. And that guy, Mama came up there and started smacking the snot out of the little whippersnapper up there. You what? I mean, she used some little unsavory, but the point got across, you know. He saw her, and he knew he was in trouble. You know what that means? That means respect, okay? And you know what I didn't see the little boy do? I didn't see him raise his hand to his mom. Okay? He took it. That showed, you know, some kind of character. It really did. Now, you see what happens when good company it falls into bad company. You know, it's you're going to do, you know, you're going to run with the bad crowd. You know, he knew better. You know, he knew that not to do that, but because he'd been, you know, cajoled by his fellows, he was right there. And his mama caught him. And God bless that woman. You know, I wish, where are the other mothers for these kids? Why weren't they out there? You know, hopefully this is a catalyst to turn things around. But, you know, there is no respect. We don't have respect for our parents. We don't have respect for the authority. And that's exactly what's going on here. Anarchy is starting to take over. Question authority. I mean, if you don't like it, you stand up and riot and pillage and do all of these things because they can't do anything to you anyway because you got a camera on them. But there's no respect. And if you don't respect that which you can see, how are you going to respect God whom you can't see? You see, that's where it falls to. If we, as believers, respect the Lord and love the Lord, we're going to love our fellow man. That's a given. We've seen that already. But the reverse is true. If we don't respect or we don't have any respect for the laws and the people that enforce those laws, then we're not going to have respect for the lawgiver. And we're going to toss it's a slippery slope, folks. You know, once we start down that path, once you start down that path, it's a slippery slope. God sets up kings, and God brings down kings. God set up a king called Manasseh. He was the most wicked king that Israel ever knew, and he reigned for 55 years. The longest reigning king, but God ordained it as such because he gave the people what they deserved, first of all. But it's what they wanted. And the governments that we have today, we have gotten because this is what we have asked for. And the Lord has given it to us. And was it 50 years ago? Was it 50 years ago? 62, where they took prayer out of school? Was it 50 years? Yeah, it's been a long time ago. Okay. They took prayer out of school. Is it any wonder that we're facing the things that we're facing today with same-sex marriages? You know, I read something interesting. You know, just the whole aspect of the decline of our society. You know, and how we have taken God out, which was the factor that kept us together. And now it's gone. And all hell basically is breaking loose. But it's the degeneration of our society. And now we're facing the things that we face. It's you know. So we need to have respect under the commandments. And something else that I read too was there's laws on the books that law enforcement is refusing to enforce. How about that? And I mean, just let that sink in for a second. No, wait, hang on a minute. There is a law against X, Y, and Z. Okay? Let's say, you know, there's a law on the books that it is a felony to commit sodomy. But they don't enforce it. It is a felony, 10-year felony, to commit adultery. To actually have sex with an unmarried woman is a 5-year felony. Fornication. They don't enforce it. They pick and choose what laws they're going to enforce. You know, how did this happen? How does this happen? How does our society get to the point of, well, that law, we're not going to worry about that because everybody's doing it. Well, you know what? I played that argument to my mom once. And she always, you know, and everybody knows what retort it was. If everybody was jumping off a cliff, would you jump off too? Or a bridge, or you know, whatever, you know, fill in the blank, depending on the state you're from. Then shall I not be ashamed? You know that boy that got slapped? He was ashamed. He was ashamed because he got called out. You don't want God calling you out and saying, "This is the commands that I laid before you, and you ignored them." That's not what you want to hear when you stand before the Lord. I ignored your word, O Lord. Do you think that's going to be a badge of honor? I don't think so. It's going to be a badge of shame. You're going to say, I wish I had read my Bible more. I wish I'd have gotten in tune with the Holy Spirit. I wish I'd have heard the voice of the Lord as I was going through these things so that I wouldn't stand here now ashamed at some of the things that I've done, repenting of a lot of the things that I've done. That's not what we want. We want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We need to be servants of the Lord. We need to give up the rights of ourselves because we belong to Him. We have died to ourselves. We've picked up our cross. We're following after Jesus. And an earmark of that is, I want to keep your statutes. I want to keep your laws. Keep them in front of my face so that I might not sin against you. I will sin against you, but so that I might not, I will keep them before me. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. You see, that's how we're going to be praising. We're going to have that confidence with the Lord because we're deeply into His Word. And the Word is deeply into us. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. And this is the cry at the end of it, man. I don't want to be forsaken. Not by you, Lord. Let me forsake the world, but no, Lord, I don't want you to forsake me. And the reverse of this is the Lord saying to us, I will never leave you or forsake you. Now, what is it that we have to do so that the Lord won't forsake us? We've accepted Him as Lord and Savior. Is that a real thing, or was that just words that you play? Well, it depends on your habit of life. What's coming out of your mouth? Are you being defiled in the way? Are you speaking of things that are shameful to be spoken of? Are you, you know, I mean, can you just, you know, mouth out the things that you said at work today and think, oh yeah, you know, this is decent, this is upright. I can praise the Lord because the things that came out of my mouth are upright. They're righteous. They're according to His Word. And I have that confidence with Him because I have kept His Word. I've kept His statutes. I don't have to worry about Him forsaking me because He called me. And the evidence of that is because my life has been changed. It's been transformed, or is being transformed. And that's what salvation is. It's an active thing. Now, in Beth, which is the second letter, now, it's kind of hard to distinguish where, you know, the B word is. You know, I mean, how does it start? Because it doesn't translate the same way from Hebrew to English. But the thought, the premise there is the B. So we're now, we've gone through the Aleph, and now Aleph, is it Aleph? Yeah, Aleph. And now we're at the Beth, which is the second letter. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Oh, there it is, right there. Gives you the problem and the answer right away. Elementary, my friends. Or elementary, my dear Watson, as Holmes would say, right? Huh? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How can I be clean? Well, we know how to be clean. 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Folks, I don't hear that enough. I forget that. I sometimes wallow in, oh, Lord, I've blown it now. Am I kicked out of the kingdom? Well, no, wait a minute. I can go back now and I can say, hey, you know, according to your word, you said that if I confess my sin, that you would forgive me for my sin. And so I'm standing on that. I'm standing on that word. And so by taking heed thereto according to thy word, getting the promises, diligently seeking out all of the promises, and all means all. All promises that the Lord has given us, we need to grab hold of. We need to take those things and embed them in our minds so that we will be able to walk in peace. I know that the Lord says He will not forsake me. Why? Because He called me and I answered that call. And His word is coursing through my veins. And I'm walking and I'm being transformed by it. That's how I know. And I have that confidence in the Lord because He's given me the peace that passes all understanding. No matter what situation, no matter what circumstance comes my way, I know that the Lord will never leave me. I may not hear from him right away to get out of this jam because he doesn't want me to get out of this jam. He wants me to ride out this storm. Just like Moses told the children of Israel before they went through the Red Sea hadn't parted yet, and the Egyptian army is bearing down, and they had the sea to their backs, and certain doom was on its way. And Moses said something most stupid to human ears. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, to human ears, that's ridiculous. We need to run. We need to move. We need to fight. We need to... Panic sets in. But when you hear those words and they fall on the ears of faith, man, peace sets in. Oh, yeah. God's got this. What you going to do, God? Let's see what's happened. And, well, you know the story. If not, go read Exodus. Good book. Verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Again, here we go. My whole heart. Not just a little bit. Not 50%. Not 75%. Not 95%. 100% of my heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Now, you know as well as I do, when you start to read the word or when you start to pray, what happens? The mind starts to wander. Phone starts to jingle. Starts to vibrate in your pocket or on the table or whatever. And the word goes down, the phone gets picked up. I mean, your mind wanders. You start to meditate on the word, and all of a sudden you find yourself, man, I'm remembering Cedar Point 2 years ago when we were there, and I was on that roller coaster, and the stupidest things come into my mind when I'm trying to meditate on the word or when I'm trying to pray. You know, I wouldn't have thought about that, being on a roller coaster. I would have been at the elephant ears booth there, and that's where I hang out. They found that out later, as evidenced by my walk. They would go on the rides for, you know, be sitting in line for a couple hours. I'm over at the elephant ears. Could have been the sugar and the cinnamon around my mouth. I don't know. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Now, again, when the evil comes in, it's going into the mind. And if it stays in the mind and it being, you know, chewed on with the mind, it's going to go into the heart. But if the word of God is there, we'll know that, hey, I'm taking that thought captive. It doesn't belong here. It needs to be jettisoned. And you need to supply the brain once again with the word of God by reiterating it over and over, because we've mulled over it. We've chewed on it like a cow chews cud. You know, just over and over, and it's ruminating, and it's become a part of us in such a manner that nothing foreign can get in. And we know it immediately. Hey, this is foreign. This is no good. False doctrine, it isn't going to happen. It's not going to light in there because we have the truth. That's why the Lord says, don't worry about false doctrine. There must needs be heresies among you. You don't need people to go out and say, this is heresy, this is heresy. The Word of God is well enough to tell you what's heresy and what's not heresy, what's good and what's not good. You don't have to sit there and browbeat somebody. The Lord says, let them alone. God will take care of them. You know, these guys that are out to take your money and stuff like that, let them alone. You know, if you have the Word of God, you're going to have the truth of God. And that's all you need. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's good. That's the sword. The sword in the sheath. Okay? As soon as that sword is unsheathed, man, it does its job. And then you put it back in there and you know where it is. It's always there, right there. So when the evil comes in, got the word, and you're able to do battle. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of my mouth. Talking about, this is not talking about evangelism in the sense of, you know, getting a group of people together to go out and witness on the beach to people, you know, giving them the gospel or in the streets of the city or what have you. It's the day-to-day living. You see, that's where you begin to evangelize. People see your good works. You've put in the extra mile. And now you're giving them testimony of why you do those things. Why am I doing it? Because of Jesus Christ. Because I love the Lord, and the Lord says, go the extra mile. Do the extra. Show yourself to be a good servant in whatever capacity that you're in. And this gives honor to the Lord. So with your lips, you declare all the judgments, all the things that I have been judged for, and the judgment's been taken away because I received mercy. I've received grace. I'm not going to be judged for my sin. People need to hear that because they're guilty. They feel guilt. That's what the Lord does. He gives them a conscience. And when they sear their consciences with a hot iron by ignoring the sin over and over again or justifying that sin over and over, you're going to come along and say, hey, I've been forgiven of that sin. These psychoses and things like that probably are a direct cause of guilt. They don't know what to do with their guilt. You know, psychiatrists make tons and tons of money over people that have these, you know, these phobias and things because they need forgiveness of sin. This is what they long for, and it's what the world can't give them. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. Now that's something that still needs to come out in our lives. You know, I rejoice in the way of thy testimonies. I rejoice in your word as if I won a $1 million lottery ticket. How would you feel if you were there and somebody dropped a ticket on the ground or handed you a ticket and said, this is a loser, and you took it and you look at it and you compare the numbers. Hey, no, this is a winner. I'm a millionaire now because I have this ticket. Well, you know, half of a millionaire, you know, because taxes. But how would you feel? Oh man, I'm sleeping in tomorrow. I can tell you that right now. I'm not going to work tomorrow. I don't have to work for the next 50 years. Man, I got $500,000. I won't make, if I lived to be 200 years old at my present wage, I still wouldn't make $1 million. So, man, I'm retiring, baby. And I'd be rejoicing and I'd be glad. But are we as glad when the Word of God comes to us? When the Lord reveals some, you know, deep thing of His Word to our hearts, do we rejoice in that same way of the testimonies of the Lord? I will meditate in thy precepts to get these things. That's what drives us in there, because we know that the Lord is really going to speak to us. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts. I have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. And that's the biggest thing for people. We forget. Oh, we forget. You know, it's, you know, I've often quipped about if we had total recall of everything that we ever did, we wouldn't do anything because we'd be so, you know, going through every detail of our lives past that we would forget to live for today. You know, that's why I can only remember bits and pieces. I mean, you can take a day, go back into a calendar, pick a day and try to remember what happened on that day, unless it's, you know, just a mundane day. He won't be able to. Why? Because it was a mundane day. You know, nothing really stands out. But a birthday, you remember that. I remember the party that I had. I remember the gifts that I got on that. Oh, man, it was such a great day. But, you know, June 17th, 19th, what happened on that day? Well, I don't even remember. Was it sunny? Was it raining? Did you have a conversation with somebody? I'm sure you did. What was it? What did you talk about? How'd you feel? We can't remember those things. And it's a blessing from God because He wants us to live in the future. He wants us to live going forward, not looking back. So He gives us memories. You know, sometimes they're painful, but sometimes they're joyous. And we remember those things. But He wants us to look forward. I'm looking forward to the day that I get to see the Lord face to face. And what's at the end of your life? Is that what you choose to see? Is that what you really want to see? Is the face of the Lord? I hope so, because that's what we're going to see. We're going to finally see Him as He is, because we're going to be then like Him. We're going to shed this skin. We're going to shed this flesh, and we'll be able to stand before him. In this flesh, this sinful flesh, we can't stand before him. As we told Moses, you can't see me and live. Here, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock, and I'll cover you with my hand. I'll pass by, and then you can see my afterglow. That's all you can see. That's all you really get to see. Is what evidence is that after I passed, the rocks are glowing. Oh, this is what I get to see. Imagine. Just imagine to see the face of your Creator. No man has ever seen God at any time. But Jesus says, when he asked, was it Philip that asked him, he said, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. He says, hey, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. So we've gone through A and B this evening. And I think we'll just end there because we won't be able to do Gimel too much justice because of the time. Well, yeah, let's go into it. What the heck? Yeah, we could do that. A, B, C. Simple. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. This is the cry of our hearts. Deal bountifully. Pour out your grace upon me, O Lord, that I may live and keep your word. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Now here, this is the reason why we study the word. Because the Lord is going to show us. He's promised us. The Jesus Christ promised us the Comforter who will lead us into all truth. Now, some folks, you know, they, you know, and you see them era after era after era. There was in the beginning of, I think, of the 1800s, the late 1800s, they had the Great Awakening, you know, where the Spirit was poured out on people and the Word of God was prevalent. The Civil War had ended and you know, the Word of God had started going out and it lasted all the way up until the 20s, you know. And in the 20s, Prohibition happened because there was enough Christians in there to push this legislation through. And you know how well that worked out. So you cannot legislate righteousness. But what had happened is because the waning of the Great Awakening was happening, they tried to politicize it or put it into the political realm and try to legislate righteousness instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to do it. And so what happened? The Great Awakening came and went. It faded away. Until the Lord moved upon the hearts of the men in the next generation. And another revival came. And then that faded out and died away. And then in the 60s, the Jesus movement happened, of which, you know, the hippies and everything, they started coming to the Lord. And, you know, it was just another great awakening. What's going to be the next one? You know, is it going to be you? Is the Lord going to pour upon you His Spirit, and there's going to be another revival before the great and powerful day of the Lord comes? I mean, or is this it? Are we just going to fade out, and the Lord's just going to take us and poof? Or is there going to be another revival? Let us pray for another revival. Open thou mine eyes, and this is how it starts. You start to look at the Word. What happened to Josiah? Josiah was a king. He was 8 years old when he began to reign. He reigned for 8 years and found a copy of the Word of God. And it was read to him. And as he heard this, he rent his garments because we have sinned against the Lord. A great awakening started happening. Because the Lord revealed his word to a heart that cared, a heart that he opened up. This is what we do. We pray, Lord, open up my heart. Show me wonderful things out of your word. Oh, there's so much wondrous things in there. Show them to me. Make it real to me. Pour out your spirit upon me and help me to see these things. Because I am a stranger, not just a stranger. This word stranger means pilgrim. Not my home. I am an alien. We are aliens here. We need the Word of God to strengthen us to move through this. We're just passing through, folks. This world is not our home. This world is not going to last. It's going to be destroyed. There's no way that you're going to hang on to it. There's no way that you're going to make this last. This is it, and it is fading away. And it's fading faster than you might think. The days, remember, now, you young people, I excuse you from that. But those of us who are of a certain age, over 50-ish, we remember, and you've probably heard this, the good old days. Remember the good old days? When you could, the ice cream man would come down and you could get a good humor for a nickel. Remember that? And you could go and get penny candy. Oh, man, the good old days. I'm surprised we even have teeth, you know. I'm telling you guys this because these are your good old days. So that when you get to be our age, you're going to say, oh, man, how much better? Wait, was it really that much better? No, it wasn't really that much better. When we were kids, there was a Cold War going on. We had no idea about. No idea. You know, a bomb shelter. You got a bomb shelter? Really? Okay. What do you put in there? Vegetables? Oh, okay. So that's what they put in their bomb shelters was vegetables. Because some crazy guy down in Cuba parked nuclear weapons 90 miles off the coast of Florida. Man, people were afraid. People were scared. But we were kids. Didn't affect us at all. Just like you guys. You're kids. A lot of this stuff doesn't affect you now. It's not going to affect you until you get older. These are the good old days. Enjoy them while they last. But no, it really isn't. We are strangers in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. We long for the Lord to come back in judgment, to judge the earth because of the slain that's in it. The Christians that are being persecuted, that their heads are getting cut off at the edge of the sea. We want the Lord to come back and avenge. We want the Lord to stop this. Lord, take us home. We don't want to have to suffer through this. But these things happen for a reason, so that the world will wake up and realize death is real. You can't escape it. And after this is the judgment. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. In contrast, you've rebuked the proud because they are proud, because they're cursed, because they don't know your commandments. But I know your commandments. I want to keep the testimonies, but they're reproaching me. Remove that reproach. The Lord did not turn his face from the reproach. He didn't turn his back on the spitters and those that would pluck off the hair, as Isaiah would tell us. These things we have to suffer through as a testimony to those who will come after us. Those people that died on the beach, they are a testimony to those who will yet be believers yet. They will consider these things and realize, man, what caused them to just sit there and allow their heads to be cut off? Man, it is a faith in something that I don't know what it is, but I need to know what that is. You see, these testimonies are out there, and the Holy Spirit will use these things. So there is nothing that, you know, oh, what a shame. That's not a shame. It's their glory, my friends. You know, that's something we recoil at right now, but, you know, stop and think about it. You know, to give your life as a testimony of what it is that you believe, man, that's powerful. That's really powerful. Because you can't give up anything greater than your life. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. And it's true today, man, the political realm, you can see it on social media there, how those that are running for president there, they're trying to figure out what side that they need to be on. So, you know, hey, are we going to be with the Christians, or do we hate the Christians this week? I'm not sure which it is, you know, so. So sound bites are going to rule the day. But thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Doesn't matter what the world does. What matters is what you do. Doesn't matter what your neighbor does. What matters is what you do. What do you think? What do you do? That's what matters. And it matters to God. And it matters to you. It should matter to you because it does matter to God. Yea, that no one else will come, I will follow. Let no one else come. I will still follow. And that's the hardest thing to do, like that guy that got slapped down by his mama. He decided to follow the crowd. and it was to his shame. But we can stand against these things because we have a greater that's in us than he that is in the world. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Your counselors, folks. That's what the Word of God is. His testimonies are your delight and your counselors. They will give you the way to go when you need to know where to go. Heavenly Father, we do thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your Word. And I pray, Father, that it would be our delight all the day long. Lord, that we would not stop meditating on it. We would not stop reading. That we would look at your Word expecting you to show us marvelous things out of it, to strengthen our faith. Lord, to show us which way that we should walk. And the testimonies, Lord, the things that you have shown us in your Word of things that have gone by are testimonies that we can use today to improve our faith, to work upon our faith. Lord, to just tell others of what it is that we believe. So, Lord, have your way with us as we read your Word. Fill us with your Spirit as we walk before you in mercy and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen.